Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 697, it's that time of year again, State of the Union time. This is one of those events like the Golden Globes or the Grammys that somehow we are supposed to watch. We're all supposed to gather around the hearth, better known as the television, and watch the president deliver the State of the Union message, which, as you know, originally was just simply a letter that was often sent to Congress to describe the State of the Union. It didn't have to be a speech. Now it's a big TV event. We're going to talk about the State of the Union message and more in podcast 697. We're going to talk about the State of the Union in this podcast. But what about the state of your heating and plumbing systems in your house or business? What's the state of that? Because we're having this up and down weather, and that's very hard on heating systems, water heaters, and heating systems themselves, as well as plumbing. I was talking to Greg Ryan the other day at Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for Home or Business, and they are doing a lot of water heaters right now, because when it comes to keeping all these systems operating in the cold and in the warming and the cooling and the warming and the cooling until things even out in March and April, you can have serious problems. And when you do, you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in Frogtown. So Ryan customers get priority. So you want to call them about quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And if you are a journeyman plumber, Ryan is growing so much that they need help. So you guys who have been pushed off your projects downtown because of Super Bowl, call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul if you're a journeyman plumber to help out. They are hiring. Once again, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing, and they're online at ryanplumbing.com. So lots of talk about the economy in this podcast and business. And if you're in business for yourself, this message is for you. If you are a developer and you develop websites for clients, especially e-commerce, this is a message for you. If you have back office issues with payment processing, this message is for you. I'm working with a new company called ReliaFund. They've been around for 20 years. What they do is process payments, and they do it really well, and they have great rates, no long-term contracts. They are secure and technology-focused. You can call them for more info at 866-243-5040. I have a ReliaFund button on my website so clients can pay through ReliaFund. They are great. They can help you. They can create apps. They have helped clients turn their whole payment processing thing around really fast. You can actually talk to a human being when you call ReliaFund at 866-243-5040 or check them out online at ReliaFund.com, R-E-L-I-A, ReliaFund.com. If you do call, ask for Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry, and they can help you out at ReliaFund.com. So I had a little bit of a debate with myself today, whether I should wait until after the State of the Union message or whether I should do an easy talker, which is when I just kind of grab some stuff and sit here and take a look at some articles and just talk off the top of my head. And I feel I've done some podcasts that took a lot of preparation and work, actually three or four or even five podcasts. It's been a long time since I did an easy talker. And sometimes getting stuff off the top of my head is a really good way to do a podcast, especially when it's something like this. The other factor was, should I wait until after the speech and then analyze the speech, which to me seems like something everybody's going to do, or should I do it before the speech? And so I am recording this podcast before the State of the Union speech by the president. We all pretty much know what he's going to do. Certainly there's going to be surprises. I really don't care about that, because what I want to focus on is what I have been hearing from various sources and what I've been thinking about doing a podcast for a while on. And this is the idea that in one short year, President Trump has brought back the economy through his incredible leadership and through the single legislative accomplishment, which is the tax bill. Some wouldn't view it as an accomplishment, others do, but I say accomplishment because it's the one piece of legislation that has actually been passed while Trump is president. And I would argue that whatever benefits from the tax plan we may accrue, we really haven't, we will not see them perhaps until 2019. And I'm going to talk about that in this podcast. But I want to talk about this idea that America is back under this incredible transformational president, and this is the line that is being delivered by Trump supporters and by Trump spokespeople and by secret Trump supporters all over the place. And of course, the other version of that is the country's going to hell in a handbasket. If you're against Trump, then everything he does is wrong. And, like everything, it just gets so confusing. So I'm going to talk about this idea that America's back and that the economy is roaring. And those are words that I have actually seen used in editorials and other things, that the economy is suddenly roaring. And I want to talk about that because this is going to be the cornerstone of his speech. Now, usually I do these podcasts at night because lots of planes are landing right over my house. And if I was outside, you could really hear it. In the summer, I just open the windows because it's so irritating to me. I can hear them in my headphones, but you might not be able to hear them on the podcast unless you're listening on headphones. But I just have to ignore them. But I'm doing it. And that's why I tell people this is a daytime podcast, because actually, if you're listening to the podcast, you know, what do you care when I'm doing it? Because you're listening to it when you're walking around the lake, or you're listening to it when you're driving to work or whatever you're doing. You know, it could be 5 a.m. Or 2 p.m. or 9 p.m. when you're listening to the podcast. So when I'm doing it doesn't mean anything other than to say I'm doing this before the Trump speech for the State of the Union. So let me talk first a little bit about the State of the Union. I am very irritated about a situation where the President of the United States, regardless of who the President of the United States is, feels it necessary to address a joint session of Congress with half of the Supreme Court or more sitting in front of him, and all the generals and, you know, admirals and so forth, and the entire, you know, press corps and people filling the galleys or whatever they're called up there at the top of the, you know, the chairs over the top of the chamber, etc., in order to deliver this message from on high. The executive is going to come to Congress and deign to speak to the people's house and tell them, how things are going. Originally, this is simply a constitutional requirement that from time to time the executive, they had to give the president some kind of job, since the descriptors and the articles in the Constitution that describe the job of the president are so few and so many for Congress that they decided, I guess, that they have to give him some job. And somebody thought, oh, well, why don't we have him come down and give, you know, send Congress a message telling them how things are going. And so the original idea was that the president would write some kind of memo and send it to them, and they could put it in the record, and here's what the president thinks is going on. George Washington went down to make the first State of the Union message as an indication of his humility to the Constitution and to Congress, and his respect for the elected bodies, congressmen in particular, and senators at that time chosen by state houses, to give a speech about how the Union was doing. And over the years, various presidents have either gone down there, meaning they've walked down Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol to deliver the speech, or they have, sent a letter. I'm trying to remember. I don't, off the top of my head, remember the president who started this, ceremony of going down there and actually delivering a message every year. But for a long time, presidents just wrote a memo, basically a letter, and sent it to Congress outlining the quote-unquote State of the Union. Nobody paid any attention to it. And now in an age of media, really going back to television, this idea of going down to Congress and forcing, you know, at one time all three networks would air the State of the Union. I don't know if they do now because I don't watch television, but You know, certainly the cable networks, all three or four of them will be CNBC, CNN, Fox News, and probably, you know, probably all three networks, or at least two of them, will air this State of the Union message. And it's a big deal. And there are actually State of the Union viewing parties, which are being held, you know, in various parts of the town that I live in the midst of all this Super Bowl preparation here in Minneapolis. You know, the supporters of the Republican Party and the president are going to hold State of the Union viewing parties, which is, to me, a complete absurdity, because it's nothing more than a commercial for what the executive branch thinks is going on. And yet, and this is why I wanted to do this podcast, people are going to say, this is what's going on, because the president can't lie in front of Congress, or the president's ideas about what this is his opportunity to have his say. And somehow this, you know, has the trappings now of a monarchy, that this is the king, you know, deigning to speak to Parliament for whatever reason. And it really irritates me, because it challenges this idea that we have a limited government. We now have a government that has so much control over the people in so many different ways that we have to have this monarchical you know, presentation in front of Parliament, you know, so that we can all hear how things are going. And of course, he won't be questioned, but at the same time, they'll, you know, get three or four of these homunculi, in other words, little people who are not the president, to deliver a rebuttal, which only makes the president look bigger, because now we have to have, there's something like eight of these rebuttals that are going to be issued, and it just makes him look even more important because he's one guy. So Trump is going to talk about how the economy is back and America is back after 1 year. Look at all these wonderful things that I've done. And he's going to do a laundry list of everything he's done, which basically are a number of executive orders, which have been mostly directions to cabinet departments to do things like to study this or to think about that when they are hiring or when they're issuing a regulation, things of that nature. Most of his executive orders are not direct orders to actually do anything, except for the few that have been very controversial, the immigration order, the DACA order, et cetera. So, you know, this is all going to come up because he's going to say he's doing all these things. But the most important thing, the bedrock thing that the president will be talking about, is how America is back due to his leadership. The economy is, quote unquote, booming. And we're going to talk about that. So business is changing these days. And if you want to show client appreciation or do team building exercises for your business, you know, you've got some tough choices, because the nature of business and the nature of employment has changed. You really, I'm going to say should. I hate to use the term should, but doing stuff at bars is, you know, fraught with all kinds of issues and problems. There's something new and fun to do in the West End. This is Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park. If you're doing a client appreciation thing, if you're doing a team building exercise, I want you to think about Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park, where there's plenty of warm, free parking. What is it? Well, I've run this commercial that I produced, which kind of takes you through an evening at Brush. What happens is people paint paintings, and they will hang those paintings on their walls. It's an evening of art and fun. They have 22 brands of beer and an extensive wine collection, catering from Crave in the West End, so you're going to have fun. The folks at Brush are actually event planning ninjas. They've done that for years. So whether it is date night, client appreciation, corporate team building, family and friends night out, they'll all be great. But I want to really talk about the team building and the client stuff, because with team building, this is an event and a thing to do that really encourages creativity. So without even knowing it, you're encouraging the creativity of your employees. If you're doing client appreciation, they can be painting, you can be wandering around, talking to your clients, getting with them, and enjoying yourselves with them. So once again, investigate Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park. You can click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. It will take you to their page, and you can see what they do, or you can sign up online at brushstudio.net. Classes do tend to fill up fast, so reach out to Brush Studio at brushstudio.net. brushstudio.net or call them at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700, brushstudio.net. You know, there's a lot of other things going on. Certainly, his ideas about trade protection, his ideas about infrastructure, and everything else, which I don't really pay any attention to or care about, because those are all things that are going to play out. The FBI thing is going to play out. The Russian thing is going to play out. Most of that is very, very inside politics, and it involves Congress. It involves, you know, wrangling and committee meetings and political theater, and, you know, getting to the bottom of it is going to be a long and involved process. And so I don't do podcasts about it, and I don't talk about it, because so much of what is written and said regarding the FBI investigation and the Russia thing is really devoid of details. The details are either cherry-picked or written from a point of view that this happened or that happened, and none of us really know what happened. We don't really know. My suspicion is none of it, whether it's the House investigation on the FBI or the Russian investigation, none of it is going to reveal anything significant in the end. And it will, they'll just, both of these probes will eventually just run out of steam and end with a whimper rather than a bang. The chance always exists for some kind of ending that's dramatic, but I think it's just something that's going to be managed going forward. So I don't really talk about that stuff. Immigration, I have a plan to address the immigration issue, which I'm not going to talk about, but I'm going to get into it later in the year, maybe in late February or early March. So I will talk about that when we get there. I also think the immigration issue is probably not going to come to a head for the short term. I think it will be, you know, early in 2018 or mid-2018 before that gets addressed. And the reason for that is it is an election year for Congress and for governors and everything else. And so I think they're going to leave that until both sides can make an issue out of it politically. And so that's why I'm kind of waiting to talk about it and cover it. But the real thing that Trump is going to talk about is the economy. He is going to tout a strong economy in the State of the Union message after what some describe as a turbulent first year. This is the idea that, as some people have described it, the economy is booming. Now, there's a couple of things. One of the things I've noticed with Trump supporters and Republicans in general is, you know, when Obama was president and the stock market did well, people would say, well, you know, the stock market isn't the economy. And now that Trump is president, a Republican is president, Republicans are fond of pointing to the stock market and saying, the stock market is better than ever. The economy is back. And of course, all of these statements about how the stock market is not the economy have been forgotten about. I am not a trader. I read a lot of economic stuff, but I hesitate to tell you why the stock market is in the position it's in. You know, I think that would take a separate podcast, but that doesn't, the stock market clearly, you know, doesn't necessarily reflect what is going on in the larger economy. We have, in the last 3 months, 2.6% economic growth. And I don't know what it's going to be for the fiscal year 2017, but it's not going to be booming. It certainly isn't going to be roaring back. One of the things that people like to tout is the fact that the employment rolls are strong and that we have very low unemployment and it's easy to get a job and everything else. Well, there's a couple of things that come into play here, especially in the last quarter. We had pretty destructive hurricanes in Florida and Texas. Those affect the unemployment rolls. And beyond that, I go back to a podcast I did about the economy, in which I talked about how they changed the way they analyze overall employment. And overall employment now includes part-time jobs. Now, certainly the number of full-time jobs has increased. Supposedly the compensation for Americans has increased, and that's all good. So there's good news in the economy. economy, and to deny it would be just stupid. And I know that you know, the Democrats are suddenly silent about the economy. My issue is I don't think 2% economic growth or 2.6% economic growth in any quarter is something to crow about. We seem to be having a problem breaking the 3% barrier. And as you recall, you know, Trump talked about 4% economic growth and 3%. And, you know, many people have been so-called 3%ers talking about 3% economic growth as the target, and 4% would be desirable. You know, 2.6% is not robust economic growth. 5%, you know, 4.5% to 5% economic growth would be robust economic growth, and we want robust economic growth. People say you're crazy, and I say we want robust economic growth because we want to make up for the GDP loss over the past 8 years, in which we have had a rather moribund or what some call a plow horse recovery from the recession of 2008. So the market doesn't necessarily play into that stuff. The real estate market seems to be very, elevated right now. And the economy in general, just so people understand, GDP numbers can be affected by a large sale of a group of airplanes from Boeing or something like a hurricane. And then, of course, government spending is a big part of that. So when Trump talks about the, you know, the fact that America is back, you have to temper that with the fact that it's just in the last quarter, 2.6% economic growth. I don't know what that's going to end up being for the fiscal year. The other thing is the markets have been down lately because Trump has been talking about trade protection. He slapped tariffs on washing machines and something else, South Koreans and the Chinese. He went to Davos, which people, you know, I don't know. I don't think too many people pay too much attention to Davos. So if you do a Google search for trends and bring up Davos, it's probably going to be second to the Kardashians. It's probably like the 29th most talked about trended topic on Google or something to that effect. People don't talk about Davos. They don't even know what Davos is. It's an interesting gathering, of international business people that Trump has always been kept out of, you know, or they don't want him to come. So he goes as president and goes over there and made some America First statements, which, you know, are contradictory because he's talking about being, America First and buying American, and then he's talking about direct foreign investment in the United States. So I don't think he really understands, or if he does, he doesn't care. That one contradicts the other. But protectionist talk seems to have roiled the dollar, because you also had Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin talking about how he wants a weaker dollar. And then you had Trump putting tariffs and talking about more tariffs on trade. And so you have a lot of people writing about how Trump's tariffs are statist, and they are, and of course, the infrastructure stuff that he wants to do, the supposedly $1.7 trillion infrastructure package, which is supposedly going to include private investment to repair America's ailing roadways. And I always say this, I've been on almost all the roads in the United States in the last 2 years, and we don't need infrastructure repair. That's a bunch of nonsense. And believe me, there's a lot of new airports across the country as well. Don't forget, we had a $1 trillion plus stimulus package, plus $150 billion stimulus package from Bush, and then a $1 point something trillion stimulus package from President Obama just a few years ago. So this idea that somehow America's crumbling and we need to have an infrastructure package is ridiculous. You know, this is populism. Basically, this is saying to America's coal miners and rural people and so forth that I've got your back and I'm going to help you. And of course, if Trump gets rid of NAFTA, America's farmers are not going to benefit. That's one thing. So that doesn't bode well for, so-called populism. And it's just a very interesting thing. So is the economy doing better? Well, the market's up, but that doesn't necessarily mean the economy's doing better. If somebody said, well, what would you want to see in terms of economic growth in this country? Here's my feeling, and I don't have enough time to really, especially off the top of my head, this is, you know, really hard for me to say in 5 or 6 minutes, but I will try. You know, I think we're dealing in this country with very old systems in terms of government, very old systems in terms of business, and very old thinking on the part of many, many Americans. Part of it is that there's a large number of people who were born in the late 40s and early 50s in this country who are now aging, and they want to bring back that sort of halcyon time in the early 60s, which for them is a memory from childhood when they didn't have any worries or concerns, which belies the actual things that were going on in the 1960s. And I'm not talking about the late 60s, which is when you say the 60s, people think 1967 and 68, Vietnam and so forth. I'm talking about that period of time before Vietnam, when at the end of the Eisenhower administration, beginning of the Kennedy administration, people go back to that period of time, you know, and, you know, when Patsy Cline and the Beach Boys were, you know, number one chart artists and things of that nature. And when, movies like, I'm trying to think of a Western that was, you know, Westerns were popular. And, you know, I'm not going to go on and on about the early 60s and nostalgia, but I think there's a lot of people in this country that want to go back to that time because it was a happy time for them. But we are living in a very different time with very different issues, most of which are invisible. And by that, I mean there's an awful lot of stuff going on with artificial intelligence, with trade, with investment, and with handheld computers and everything else, which are very powerful that we don't see. We don't see, you know, with all this talk about the FBI and supposedly alleged illegal use of FISA court warrants and everything else, they don't even pay attention to the fact that every conversation you have, every text you have, every picture you take, even when your phone is off, is accessible by the National Security Agency, which Congress just re-upped the ability of the NSA to look into the internet, which means your phones, which means your search histories and virtually everything. And when you tell people like that, they're shocked to hear that, yes, they can access your camera when your computer's off. They can access your camera when your phone is not being used. They can look at everything that you do. And that's just one example. When it comes to social media, when it comes to defense, when it comes to, you know, everything, there is a crust of technology, artificial intelligence, as I've mentioned, and surveillance capabilities and data mining and digital footprints and everything else that is really becoming a burgeoning fact of life in our country. And those kinds of systems, if you believe that form follows function, really are predicating a new way of thinking about things. And I'm not sure that our government is going to survive in its present form. I can tell you that Trump-style mercantilism is not going to survive. I can tell you that trade protection is not going to survive when money is basically digital, when money can be blockchain protected and traded, when money can be moved to where money is treated well. Why can't it be moved to a huge lily pond, floating city somewhere in the middle of the Pacific or something. There's an awful lot of things happening that people don't pay any attention to because they don't understand it, myself included, that are forming the crust of a new world, and it's just starting to get momentum. And so we're really living in the early, early ages of a truly significant time that will make the Industrial Revolution look like the Dark Ages. And I'm not sure our government or our systems are going to survive. But I can tell you that judging the economy based on the things like GDP, which is an archaic way of measuring economy, whether government spending is going up or down, government debt, things of that nature, as well as a government that is now involved in virtually everything we do. I live in Minneapolis. This is the town where the Super Bowl is being held. And of course, everybody's talking about the amount of snipers on roofs and surveillance going on in Minneapolis and Black Hawk helicopters practicing 35 miles outside of town and people riding up and down the freeway in Humvees and camouflage-clad county sheriffs and so on and so forth. you know, and somebody said to me last night, as a matter of fact, you know, they're putting up all these cameras downtown. And he said, and you can bet that those cameras are not going to be going away. These are not things that Trump is going to mention in the State of the Union message. These are not things that you are being told about because you're paying attention to, you know, what Sean Hannity is talking about on Fox or what Rachel Maddow is talking about on MSNBC or whatever it is, CNBC and MSNBC. I don't know. Or what, you know, the latest attack on the president from CNN, you know, whether or not Melania is pissed at Trump for this, you know, and the economy being back, being touted is an absurdity when you realize that that 2.6% economic growth is not back. Will there be benefits from the tax plan? Yes, there will be benefits. I've said this before, so you know I'm not, you know, one of these people who's touting an advocacy point of view. You know, you can't cut taxes to 21% from 35% for corporations and not see some benefits. I just don't know where those benefits are going to be or where they're going to show up in the economy. Will there be benefits for average Americans? Perhaps. But, you know, as I said when I did the tax bill podcast, there are things in the tax bill, what they giveth, they taketh away. So some people will find that they are going to have some issues. If you're divorced, you won't be able to write off your alimony, for example. And there's other things about the tax bill which may make your tax bill go up. As far as the overall economy is concerned, you know, it's hard to tell whether people will have more money in their pocket or not. So I think it's a little early to claim credit, you know, and he's going to. But the economy is not growing drastically. If you look at some key numbers, you know, food stamp usage is going back up. Certainly, even the most realistic employment statistic, which I think is U3, which is at about 9% or something, is starting to go down, which is good. But we are still in an elevated risk for a lot of problems in the economy. You know, they haven't fixed everything, especially when all they've done really is pass a tax bill. And the president has issued some executive orders on some things, which actually I feel are good. I think an executive order on the Keystone Pipeline was good. Approving that was a good idea. I think that approving parts of the coast or all the coast, like Anwar and along the Pacific coast for oil exploration is a good thing. And I know a lot of people, a lot of my friends out on the West Coast disagree vehemently with that, but I think it's a good thing for the United States. We are now the world's swing oil producer and destined to be a larger oil producer than Russia. And there's a lot of good things going on, but saying that we're back is a little premature. So be prepared for that with this year's State of the Union message. And I think I don't talk about it a lot. I will do a podcast about it every now and then. But I think what I'm fascinated with these days are all of the misinformation, whether it's the crazy stuff on YouTube that ends up leaching into the mainstream media, as in Pizzagate, or the essentially advocacy journalism, which is, I believe something and I'm going to write an article that supports this point of view, and it's an editorial, but it's going to look like a news story, or even editorials and commentaries which fill the internet, which are designed to get you to think about something a certain way and to persuade you, to advocate for a point of view, are a huge disservice. I'm much more fascinated with the bedrock things that we can do, whether it is what's going on in Silicon Valley, what's going on with processors, what's going on with algorithms, what's going on with artificial intelligence, what's going on with technology changes and improvements overall that are much more significant than anything that they do in Washington. And I will talk about those in previous podcasts. But this is just a little primer for thinking about the State of the Union message, which really is a big commercial for the president. And it will generate coverage for at least a month about whether or not he's right, which only serves the myth if there is a myth. If he's right, why? If he's wrong, why? Here's the evidence for why the economy is booming. And those kinds of stories have to be written with a headline that says booming economy, question mark, and then all you see is booming economy. So it's all a big con job in terms of, you know, the next month or so of media coverage of the State of the Union message. And you can bet that he will go off script and he will do something crazy so that people will talk about that in the State of the Union message, as well as everything else that he's been talking about. So, and I don't know what it's going to be. I couldn't tell you. He may deliver a fabulous speech, you know, as well. And I don't want to criticize Trump unduly. Certainly, there have been some things that he's done that I think have been positive. I think the tax bill on balance is probably positive. As I said, I mentioned some of those executive orders, even though most of his executive orders, which he touts as actual things that he's done, are just running the government and really orders to study and orders to look into things and orders to think about things in a different way. The whole thing with the FBI and the investigation of the Russia thing, which is really occupying most of the time of people in Washington, is a gigantic distraction. And I would encourage people to think about that way and look beyond that, because it's taking entirely too much time up in terms of talk radio and cable television news and even on YouTube. So that's it. A lot of stuff. The porn star story. The stuff that he did in Davos and so forth. Those are all. I'm not going to call them distractions, as though their intent is to make it a distraction. I think they're distractions because I think the media, increasingly, especially certain people, whether it's Hollywood or certain people who are really partisans, are just becoming increasingly desperate to find some horrible thing to say about the president, and it doesn't serve anybody. You know, there's certainly plenty to criticize in terms of policy with President Trump. You don't have to go to some of this crazy, hysterical stuff that's going on. And so I'm staying away from that. As a podcaster, I can put up a podcast every day about his crazy stuff, and it would serve nothing. You'd go back and listen to it, 4 years from now, and it would be unlistenable, because this is what goes on. You go back 4 years and replay, any of these shows on cable, and you'll see how completely disposable that stuff is. I don't want to do that. As a podcaster, I don't want to do that kind of media. I want to try to give you information or a thought starter that encourages you to think for yourself, that encourages your freedom of choice, and might be viewed as sort of a boy along the channel or something to that effect, that guides you in a particular direction to think for yourself and to look up information for yourself and think about the future in new and more positive ways, rather than getting all caught up in this stuff that goes on. You know, if something comes out and they end up getting rid of Trump and impeaching Trump or something, well, then we'll talk about that when the day comes. Until then, speculating about the effect of this and the effect of that that's really not news, because you can get comments from anybody about the effect of this, that, or the other thing. You can get comments from anybody about whether they think the economy is going better. You can get comments and put them in a story that has the headline, economy doing better, and here's why, and it's meaningless. You have to look at the numbers day in and day out, and I do. And it's better than it was, but I would still say, and people are not going to like this, to a large degree, this is still Obama's economy, because we haven't made significant financial policy changes beyond the tax bill. And I don't think that we have seen the full effect of the tax bill. So, yes, he's going to claim victory, and he probably should from his perspective. But, it might be a premature claim, and we will see. Thanks once again to Brush Studio in the West End for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Don't forget, whether it's date night, business, corporate events, family, client appreciation, friends night out, you're going to have a good time at Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park. Check them out online at brushstudio.net or call them at 952-236-1700, 952-236-1700. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating. When it comes to keeping all these systems operating, you want reliable service. If you have emergency problems, if you're a Ryan Ryan customer, they can take care of you. If you're a journeyman plumber, they are growing and they need help. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Got to mention one more thing. I mentioned trade protection. I've been telling you for weeks that this is going to be an issue. It's in the news. It's going to continue to be because the president is a trade protectionist. Unusual for a Republican, but if you are a company that manufactures overseas in other countries, you got to be thinking about reshoring at least some of your stuff. Consider Depot Star, American manufacturing here in Minnesota. DEPOT, Depot Star, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit them online at depotstar.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher.com, Google Play, Spreaker, and of course, right off the page with the streaming or selected podcasts and the RSS feed at thebobdavispodcast.com. I do appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and the following on Facebook and Twitter, and I am going to be taking a trip here relatively soon, next few weeks. I got some business stuff to do, but I do appreciate donations for diesel fuel at the Bob BobDavisPodcasts.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 697, The State of the Union. Here we go again. Bye-bye. About you.